You don't have to know about his teachings. You don't have to know about his miracles. What you need to know is what happened this week. All of history centers around this week. All of humanity and all of time is divided by the birth of the Lord. It's either before Christ, and then from the time he's born, after Christ, A.D., Anno Domini, the year of the Lord after his birth. All of history is divided by his birth. Listen to me. But all of humanity is divided by his death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen.
Okay? All of humanity is divided by his death, burial, and resurrection. When God the Father looks down on the hearts of all mankind, he sees those that have received the gift of salvation because of the death, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and those that do not. And all of humanity is divided by this week. And so this is a very important week. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, at the 26th chapter, we read in verse 1, after Jesus had finished some amazing teachings in chapter 24 and 25, which is all about the end of the world and when will these things be? And he gave some prophecy, and then it stopped, and the prophecy was over. And in verse 1 of chapter 26, it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." And he just stopped all the prophecy conference and brought them back down to the reality and the importance of the fact that the Son of Man had to die and be crucified for sins. Again, he wants people to understand the first coming and what he did on that cross. Is you got to get things in order. You got to get that first. I remember when I was a new Christian, I loved all those prophecy studies. You ever like those things? They get excited. That's a lot of head knowledge, and that's good. And Jesus stopped all that and said, wait a second, let's get to the important thing, my crucifixion. Except a corn of wheat die and be planted, it cannot bring forth fruit, and I'm going to give my life a ransom for many. And he brought them back down to reality. That's where we always need to be. That's where we need to be as a body, because there's level ground at the foot of the cross. Okay? I mean, Brother Mike stands up here to be seen, but here's Brother Mike with the rest of you. Okay, right about here. Here we are together. See, just like that. We're all at the foot of the cross. I'm no better than anyone else. No one else is better than anyone else. He's the one that's better than all of us. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And so we understand these things. He wants to get the first coming correct. And what's important about the first coming? The work at Calvary. The Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Well, go into the city." And I had friends of mine, when I was a musician, whenever you said the city, it meant Manhattan. That's what the city meant, Manhattan. There's only one city, the city that never sleeps, to musicians. This is Jerusalem. That's the city Jesus is talking about. That's the great city of the great king. That's the holy city. "Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." In one of the other accounts, it's either Mark or Luke, it says the man will be carrying water. When you find the man carrying water, that's the man to follow. That was very rare for a man at that time to carry water. That men didn't carry water around. The women did it. It was very rare to find a man that carried water. This is the water of the Word. You want to follow someone, follow a man that's carrying the water of the word. It's very rare to find a man carrying the water of the word. If you went down to the Capitol and talked to the congressmen and the senators, I don't know how many you'd find that are carrying this. But find a man carrying this portrait. That's where Jesus keeps the Passover. It's going to be a family get-together of those that love him. Verse 19, and the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Verse 20, now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? When I was a young baby, newborn Christian, I did not understand that. I don't know if it was the fact that I was just a baby or the fact that I went to a church where they were all babies. And at that particular church, they didn't read a King James Bible. They read an NIV. And they all felt really good about themselves. And we would read that verse and go, what were they talking about? How could you possibly think, is it I? Well, having received the right Bible and read through it a number of times, and the Holy Spirit of God working with me personally every time I read it, and just reminding me, gently, but reminding me, Michael, look at the sin in your heart. Look at the things you're capable of doing from in the wrong direction. After reading through that one or two times, then I remember being in a Bible study with them and thinking, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Of course, he's not talking about the type of betrayal that we're thinking about. He's talking about religious betrayal. But I understand. We betrayed him in the sense like Peter did later that evening. A betrayal in the sense that, I mean, I don't think any truly saved, blood-bought, born-again child of God would ever point up there and say, you're not the Christ, you're not the Messiah, you're not God's son. I don't think they would ever do that. But they might betray him in the sense that they're at the workplace and everybody's talking and you're not one of those born-agains with a Bible, not me, I'm not one of those, no, those people are too fundamental for me, no, I'm a little different. That type of betrayal. That's what Peter did that night. He didn't think Jesus was the Christ. He wasn't losing his faith that Jesus was the Christ. He knew he was the Christ. He just was an undercover kind of Christian that one night, that type of betrayal. But this isn't what the Lord means here. This is a betrayal of someone that doesn't think he's the Son of God, doesn't think he can go up on that cross and die and go on the ground and come up 3 days later and be resurrected. That's the type of betrayal he's talking about. This is a religious type of a betrayal that goes on today, where the Barna folks surveyed the students in seminaries, Protestant seminaries, and over 50% did not believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Over 50% in the United States of America in the major seminaries, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Church of Christ, Baptist, over 50% don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the type of betrayal he's talking about. And he answered and said, they all asked, is it I? 23, he answered and said, oh, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. What does it mean? He has a label Christian on him. He has a clothing of a sheep. He likes to come at the assembly. He's not like the golf crowd that skips church on Sunday. He's there every Sunday. He even goes on and becomes professional. He dips in the dish with the rest of us. He takes the communion. And one of those. Verse 24, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. It was written in the scriptures that he would come. He would be the Lamb of God. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. You say, that was Judas. Yeah, that was Judas. That's correct. It tells you. Next verse, Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? By the way, do you notice the difference between verse 22 and verse 25? The disciples said, Lord, is it I? Judas calls him Master. Watch for that. Even today when you're listening to Christian radio, watch and listen to the teachers, the ones that refer to him as Lord. You can tell the difference. That personal relationship versus those that just call him Master, which means great teacher. All the great teachings of Jesus. Yeah, they are great teachings, but they can't save you. We don't need a great teacher. We need a great Savior. That's what we need because we're sinners. Is it I? And he said to him, Thou hast said. That's correct, Judas. Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Okay, again, the betrayal being, I don't believe in the bodily resurrection. I don't believe he's the only way. Today, he would say the same thing to any man that believes that way. Woe to that man. It'd be better for you if you weren't born. That doesn't make sense to me. It might when your soul is separated from your body and your soul is in hell. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He never created hell for human souls. He created it for angels that rebelled. But sadly, human souls go there. And boy, I'll bet a soul in hell wishes, I wish I had never been born. I wish I had never been born. Betraying the Son of Man. And now the good part. Because in John's Gospel, we learn that right after verse 25, Judas leaves the room. And all that's left now are Jesus and his disciples. The ones who won't betray him. The ones who believe deep in their heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he gathers them together, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. Probably explained to you what that means in the next verse, 27. And break it, and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks. That's how he blessed before. Giving thanks blesses God the Father, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And the Lord was celebrating the feast of the Passover with these men in the upper room. A feast that had been instituted by God the Father 14 centuries before that in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Go back to Exodus chapter 12. He'll lay some of the foundations for this. Chapter 12, verse 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginnings of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. That was a big change in the Jewish calendar. The Jewish calendar always had its first month in the fall, right around September, October. God says, we're going to do something brand new with the nation. We're going to have the first month in the spring. I like that better. Don't you like spring better than, you know, fall when things are starting to get, the days are getting shorter and the leaves are falling and the temperature is getting colder, and before you know it, everything is kind of in hibernation and dead and there's snow everywhere. And spring, here come the leaves fresh and new and the buds are coming up and the days are lengthening and the birds are chirping. I like spring. It's a new beginning. This is a portrait of the new birth. God moves us from that birth that is a certain short lifetime. Life is short. Heading toward cold death. It's crazy cold way down there, the one guy says. He means his body in the grave. It's cold. His soul's hot in hell. But I understand. And it's cold. And the cold due to the separation from God. And God says, no, this is something new. I want to do something new with you. And the nation Israel is being reborn, if you will, in this new month. And here he says, verse 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto the house take it according to the souls, the number of souls. What he's saying is this, you can share the lamb. There's enough lamb to go around. Invite the neighbors. What a blessing. Eating shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ was taken from the sheep of the nation of Israel. He was of the stock of Abraham and David, and he was chosen. He was chosen from that nation Israel as one of the sheep, but he was the only one without blemish and without spot and sinless, harmless, undefiled, separate from all the other sinners in the nation Israel. This is the Lamb that was chosen as he came forth on Palm Sunday and presented himself on, what's it called, Abib the 10th, on that particular Sunday. And he came forth and presented himself. Verse 6, and ye shall keep it, the lamb, up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So the Lord is celebrating this. Now, if you've ever studied this carefully, and I'll bet you have, and you have some questions about the timing of this whole thing, because the Lord came riding in the triumphant entry on a Sunday. That's the 10th. Monday's the 11th. Tuesday is the 12th. Wednesday is the 13th. Thursday is the 14th. And on the 14th, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel crucify him, and they killed him as it was going toward the evening. And he gave up the ghost, and he hung on that tree, and he died on that Thursday, the 14th. Then what were they doing the night before eating the Passover on what would be Wednesday evening? You ever wonder about that? Why were they eating the Passover the night before? Well, I wonder about these things. So anyways, I don't understand these things, but thankfully I have a book by a Jewish rabbi, the Jewish Book of Why. And he explains what the Jews had done at the building of the Second Temple at the time of Nehemiah. And a particular ceremony had developed that the Lord honored, just as he honored the ceremony in John chapter 10 at the Feast of the Dedication, which also was a post-Levitical writing, because that happened at the time of the Maccabees in 180 BC. And so the Lord honored certain things that the nation did as they were going forth to worship the Father. So here's what happens. Why is this Seder held this way? The Seder is the special Passover home service that is held the first night of the Passover. Now, the Jews do their days differently than we do, folks. The evening and the morning makes the day. Right now, it's 8 o'clock. And if I ask, what day is it today? Thursday. Not to the Jew. It's Friday evening right now. Evening. That's correct. It's Friday evening. At 6 p.m. began Friday evening. It swings all the way around till 6 a.m., and then Friday morning, 12 hours, and Friday's over at 6 p.m. tomorrow, and then begins Saturday evening. The Jews keep time differently than we do. You would say they're backwards. Actually, God would say we're backwards. Okay, we're the Gentiles without God and without the covenant. Okay, but anyway, so let's think about this now. So then I had to put my thinking cap on and put this together. Am I going, is this okay? All right. Okay, so it would be what I would think is a Wednesday evening, which is curious because Wednesday evening is usually when most churches celebrate their midweek service, right, brother? I mean, we are the minority. We're in the minority about everything. But, amen, he says, Victor. So I'm going to put some of that soap on me and join a minstrel show. We were in the minority around here. I mean, every which way. And in most churches celebrate on a Wednesday, but we celebrate on a Thursday, and that just kind of came because our cameraman worked Wednesday night, and we ended up doing it Thursday. And it's been okay because it's allowed a lot of missionaries to come here that when they're in town, if they're at a regular church on a Wednesday, they can still come here on a Thursday. So we've kept it that way. It's been a blessing. But most churches celebrate their midweek service at Wednesday evening, Gentile time, which is exactly the time when the Lord had this Last Supper with his disciples. It was that Wednesday evening, Gentile time, which was really Thursday evening, Jewish time, when they gathered together for the Seder home service. And they gathered together there. And what they used to do was, they would begin the feast with a thanksgiving, which was followed by a first cup of wine. Now, my son has done the studies with you to show you that the wine that Jesus drank is the new wine. It's the good wine. It is grape juice. Jesus never drank a fermented beverage. Having read the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, book of Proverbs, chapter 31, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, and having read all these things, he knew that God was not pleased with fermented liquor. It is not for kings to drink wine or strong drink. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. It causes one to forget judgment, to pervert judgment. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was a teetotaler his whole life. All he drank was the fresh fruit of the vine. And so they would give their thanksgiving. They would have the first cup from the fruit of the vine, and then they would take some bread and they would dip it in the bitter herbs, and they would go through the Psalter, the Psalms, and they would read, let's turn there, Psalm 113. So if we were there in the upper room, Jesus would say, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 113. And after they would have the bitter herbs and the first cup, they would read Psalm 113 and Psalm 114. And it reads, Psalm 113, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? The preacher used to say, he sits high and he looks low. He's way up there, the Lord dwelling on high, and he looks way down. Got to look way down just to see what's in heaven, and get way down to see what's in the earth. And he looks down here to see what we're doing. What a blessing. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, promise of the resurrection, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. And then he would say, let's read Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob implied, when they went from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea sought and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. What aileth thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back, ye mountains, that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, and the flint into a fountain of waters. And they would read those two psalms, and then they would pass the cup again, and they would take the second drink. There would be four cups that would be taken during the Seder meal, and they would pass that. And then they would take the lamb, and they would divide the lamb, and they would eat the roasted lamb, and they would drink the third cup along with the eating of unleavened bread. And he would break the bread at that time. And that's when we read, at that time, he took the bread at the time the lamb was being eaten, and he broke the bread, and he thanked the Lord for it, blessed it, and then he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat." And they're understanding the bread's being broken, the lamb is being eaten, and he's saying, "This is my body." And what he's doing is he's coming to the fulfillment of the Passover. This will be the final Passover for the nation, because he's now going to begin something new. The Passover was something that they celebrated for 14 centuries, always looking back to that time in the book of Exodus, always remembering how they were brought forth out of Egypt. And now he's going to do something new in the next 24 hours, but he's going to start a new memorial service, a new ordinance for us, that we would look back in remembrance for the greater work of the Lamb of God on Calvary's tree. And so he's getting them ready for this. And then, after they would drink the third cup, after they'd eaten, he would say, "Let's read from the Psalms." And they would go back and they would read Psalm 115 and Psalm 116. Psalm 115 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory." See, I sometimes wonder, when I think about the Jewish people, that when he, Jesus, came to his own, they rejected him. They knew him not, and they rejected him. I don't understand this. Having read these Psalms, "Not unto us, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Why do the heathen say that? Because they have idols, and their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. That's a pretty rough verse, verse 8. They that make them are like unto them. They're dead. A statue's dead. And so someone that makes a statue in God's sight, he's dead. And not only that, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Dead. Our God is in the heavens. The Jews never had to prove the existence of God. They only had to proclaim the goodness of God and the person of God. You don't have to prove the existence of God. Our God is in the heavens. I don't believe it. Well, too bad. He's there. It doesn't matter. I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. Well, like John Blanchard said, does God believe in atheists? He probably doesn't believe in you either. And woe unto that man, it'd be better if you weren't born. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Here we go. Church, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. It's the gift of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Then the Lord would say, let's read Psalm 116. This is a beautiful psalm. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. How long are you going to live? Amen. Amen. What a blessing. The sorrows of death compassed me about. The pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple, not the high-minded, not the scholars, not the rich and famous, the simple. You can be simple, even if you are rich and famous or high-minded or a scholar. Just lose your wisdom, stop trusting in your riches, and do like this guy. I beseech thee, Lord, deliver my soul, and the Lord will meet you with grace. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Where might that be? That's the Lord. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. Oh, that's good for us. That preaches. I believed, therefore have I spoken. Lord, help us to make that a reality in our lives. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars, but not all are, not those who are in Christ. No liar shall inherit the kingdom of God. No liar will have his part in God's heaven. If you're in Christ, you're not a liar anymore. Your old man may lie, but your new man's incapable of lying. What a blessing. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Again, right this time he's passing the third cup. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. And then he would get ready to pass the fourth cup. And it was at the fourth cup when he told them essentially this. He's doing something new. This Passover is passing because this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Because every year they had to come back on the Day of Atonement and kill a lamb. Every year they had to come back on the Passover and do this. But now, once for all, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would take away the sin of the world. The remission of sins would be in his blood in the New Testament. Let's take these things and help the Passover looked back to Israel's deliverance from Egypt. The Lord's Supper that he commemorated looks back to the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross. But even more than that, we'll see that it looks forward.
Crucified my Lord. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? To tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there? Me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the
For those disciples on that last night of the Passover with Jesus in the upper room, I'm sure that many of the things that Jesus was doing, they didn't quite comprehend at that time. He said, I have many things to teach you, but you're not ready. Many things to say to you, you're not ready to bear them just yet. But Paul was given an understanding later on. And that what he did that evening was to be an ordinance for the church, for us to do to commemorate in remembrance, to still us corporately as a body, to always bring us back. I mean, the two ordinances, you have the ordinance of baptism, and that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's a once-in-a-lifetime celebration of the new birth. But this ordinance is an ordinance that we do four times a year, at every one of the feast days, Tabernacles, Pentecost, Passover, the dedication, to corporately just to bring us back into remembrance of the suffering that our Savior went through to give us that new life that we have. I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and he broke it, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." There's nothing magical or special in the sense that it confers any grace or spiritual power in eating this little piece of bread here. But corporately, as we come together, it's an object lesson for us to remember that he was the only one that was unleavened in nature. He was the only one that was sinless. And the sad story of mankind is the only one who ever lived in all the history of mankind that was sinless. The only one that was perfectly obedient. The only one that did not have to die. Because the wages of sin is death. Willingly died. So that as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered for the sins of many. And we do this in remembrance. And as oft as we eat this, whenever we do this, we are showing the Lord's death, looking back and remembering. This is so needful in our Christian life to look back to Calvary. Lord, lead us to Calvary. We're showing that death, but then till he come. Remember, it was chapter 26 when he stopped them and said, the Son of Man must be betrayed and crucified. But he had just taught in chapter 24 and 25 about the second coming. And although he wants to ground us on our knees, he still wants our eyes looking up and waiting for the second coming. And we do this. We look back in faith, but we look up and forward in hope. And we look inward with charity and love. Lord, we thank you for this ordinance. We thank you for this body that you've given us here, Lord. We thank you for being with us at this moment in thy word and in thy spirit, and drawing us with thee in the upper room, as it were. And Lord, help us, every one of us. Clothe us with humility and drive us back to our knees in remembrance of that great work. And then at the same time, fill our hearts with hope and anticipation for the day when you will return and set up thy kingdom. This I pray in Jesus' name, amen. He took the cup, and it was customary at that time, as they were leaving, the Lord had them sing Psalm 117 and Psalm 118, but I wonder if when he had that cup, he just stopped momentarily, and this is where you read John 15, as he was holding this, and he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And he took the cup in the same manner, and he said, this is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft ye drink it, do it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Lord, thank you. For as the Apostle John wrote, when the soldier took that spear and pierced your heart, out came blood and water. And there are three now that bear witness in the earth, the spirit, the water, and the blood. Thank you for sacrificing your life that I might have life, that these may have life. And Lord, we are excited to think we're so close to when you'll return, Lord. Thank you for the blessed hope. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And then it says in Matthew's gospel, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And it is believed that the hymn they sung was Psalm 117 and Psalm 118. And here they are going through the streets of Jerusalem, working their way down the Kidron Valley up to the Mount of Olives and singing, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or politicians or anything. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They're quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. You can see Jesus in this as he's heading toward the Mount of Olives, praying to his Father. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of the righteous. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Resurrection. He came forth. And we rejoice and we're glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. You see in that one verse, the first and second coming. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, first coming. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity, second coming. We look forward. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Today we're living sacrifices. They used to take the sheep, and they would bring them right to the horns of the altar, and they would bind the sheep right there to the horns of the altar, and this is the one to be sacrificed. Folks, we're to be living sacrifices, bound right to the altar of the Lord, ready to do his bidding, ready to serve him, ready to lay our lives down for him. Amen. Verse 28, thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
From the grave, were you there when he rose up from the grave? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the grave?
This is the most important week in the history of mankind. This is most definitely the most important week in the history of a Christian. So for the next couple days, as you go home, open the pages of the scriptures, look through some of the accounts on what your Lord did, read about the exciting resurrection on Sunday, give some tracts to some people that need to know the truth, pray the Lord will draw as he does at this time, his mercy endureth forever, and we'll gather together on Sunday and we'll sing, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Amen.
Amen. We're dismissed.